This week's message was brought to us by Greg Whitfield. The title is Bearing Fruit, and the scripture reading is John 15, 5-8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Following the message, Greg leads us in an evangelism training exercise, and we've included the audio from that as well.
My name's Greg Whitfield, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Beamsville is a bit of a stomping ground for me. My parents have lived here since 1998. And as for me, for the last 12 years, I'm married, I have three little kids, and we live in Cambridge, Ontario. I was part of Youth for Christ for 12 years, and then I left in the summer, and now I'm transitioning to an organization called E3/IAM2. A lot of people have heard of IAM2, not many people have heard of E3. IAM2, interestingly, they've gotten a bunch of celebrities who have come to Christ, they've filmed them, given a 5-minute testimony, and you can see it on YouTube, just type in IAM2, and here are these celebrities. There's been 21 million viewers seeing these celebrities say, you know, and I came to Jesus Christ, and now IAM2. And E3 started IAM2. So what is E3? E3 is an organization that the three E's, equipping churches, in evangelism, and establishing churches. So my role for the next few years, maybe even the rest of my life, because I'm very passionate about this, is just to equip churches and Christians in evangelism. And then part of our organization is you can't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk, so I'll be doing evangelism as well. So as part of joining this organization a couple of weeks ago, there was a training in Winnipeg. So I hopped in the car and I drove to Winnipeg. Instead of flying, I wanted a bit of a spiritual retreat. About halfway there, I regretted it. It's a very long drive. Quick side note, Mitsubishi is not paying me for this, but it only costed $90 for me to get there in gas in my little Mitsubishi Mirage, a 3-cylinder car. So, so a little plug for a good vehicle there. On my way there to Winnipeg, I spent a lot of time in prayer and thinking, and tons of trees. Our country is beautiful, eh? Tons of trees, tons of little lakes. And as I was driving by, there's these interesting patches of where you could see in the forest that for whatever reason, right near the road, the whole bunch of trees would be wiped out. But you could see that they were growing back, that the mature trees out behind had dropped a ton of pine cones and up birthing this new patch of forest. So a bunch of these 10, 15-foot evergreens right along the road and then out behind these big mature trees. And being in about 20 hours of contemplation, I couldn't help but just spend some time at least contemplating God's enjoyment of fruitfulness. He birthed this world and even this universe into being. He loves to create. He loves fruitfulness. It excites him when things are reproduced. And so what I want to do this morning is just walk through the whole Bible in about three scriptures though, and just kind of illustrate that. God's heart for fruitfulness and reproduction, and then relate it to our lives. So the very first verse that I want to look at is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And if you've been in church a while, been a Christian a while, you're probably familiar with this. But let us never tire of looking at the scripture over and over. So Genesis 1, 26 to 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" And I'm going to stop there. So there's a lot that's been said, and I just want to focus on that one last part there. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. First two people, Adam and Eve. What's God's heart? And it's even a command to Adam and Eve. Have babies, have tons of kids, and fill the earth. And that brings God pleasure. The next scripture I want to look at is Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 to 2. Psalm chapter 67, verses 1 to 2. This is David writing this. It's a song and kind of a prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. So do you know the story that in Genesis 12, just 12 chapters into the Bible, God calls Abraham, who would become a family, Israel, which would become a big nation. And the story basically goes that God commissions Israel to show his ways, to bless all of the other nations, to show his ways to all of the other nations. And here we see God's heart and David's heart mirroring God's heart, saying, bless us, God, that is us, Israel, that your ways may be known where? Across the whole world. So that your ways may be known, your salvation among all of the nations, not just Israel. So God loves fruitfulness and to reproduce. Adam and Eve, make a bunch of babies. Israel, show my ways and salvation across the earth. But Israel fell short of this, reproducing God's ways. And so a single representative comes, a representative of Israel, and did what Israel could not do, Jesus of Nazareth. He came to produce God's ways. Listen to this. He came to produce God's ways in people. Jesus embodied God's ways. He was the walking, living, breathing flesh. He was God's ways walking amongst people. And he came to produce himself in his followers, to reproduce himself in his followers. You guys following with me? So here's God's ways. Let it be known across the world. Israel couldn't really do it. So Jesus embodies his ways, walks among men. Jesus is God. And then Jesus starts to produce himself in other people so that they would then walk God's ways across the earth. And the people that he starts reproducing himself in would be called apostles and disciples. And a disciple means student, one who learns the ways. And disciples then would embody God himself and his ways. So if you're a disciple, did you know that you are an embodiment of Jesus, that you're an embodiment of the ways of God in order to go and just fill the earth with the ways of God? You have Christ in you, the scriptures say, over and over and over. If you're a Christian, you have Jesus in you. In other words, you're an embodiment of Jesus. You're a house of God himself. It's the most astonishing thing in the scriptures. It was a mystery. It was a secret hidden for hundreds of years. And then the first Christians after Jesus would discover this truth, Christ in you. Oh, it's Jesus in me. I'm an embodiment of God. God could have chose any place to live. He could have chose the Bahamas. He could have chose the moon. He could have chose the atmosphere. He could have chose the stratosphere. But instead, he chose man and he chose women to live inside. It's incredible. Look at this. The third verse I want to share with you as we just breeze through God's love of fruitfulness and reproducing himself in the world is Colossians chapter 1, verses 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I looked up the Greek word for Gentiles, and it's basically like nations. So here we have it again. To them, God has chosen to make known among the nations the glorious riches of this mystery. It was a secret now revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need a revelation of just how much Christ is in us in the church. We need to wake up to the fact of how much Jesus is in us in the church. And I've just seen this in myself. I've seen it in my brothers and sisters. So I'll tell you this. Christ is in you so much that there's no room at the inn for sin. Christ is in you so much that there's no room at the end for sin. A friend of mine in Australia, he did a sermon called God is Inside, Sin is Outside. God is inside, sin is outside. Sin is knocking at the door, asking if it can come in and take residence in you. But Jesus is like in you if you're a Christian. And he doesn't want sin. He doesn't take on sin as a roommate. No, it's him and only him. It's Holy Spirit within, completely full. 100% of what's in me is Holy Spirit, is Jesus, is God in me. So Jesus doesn't take on fear. He doesn't take on failure. He doesn't take on mistakes or shortcomings or sin as roommates because he defeated them all. He's victorious. And so Christians, we can say that we're more than conquerors in Christ because greater is he who is in you than the one who's in the world. And the house, if you ever wonder, is Jesus in me or is it sin or is it a blend of both? Let me tell you, it's Jesus in you, Christ in you. And the house, which is you, you are the house, is his. The house is his, nobody else's. Why? Because he paid the highest price. He paid the highest price for that house, for you. And so Jesus is in you. That's what he won on the cross. So there is no doing that makes you who you are except for what Christ did on the cross. There's no doing that makes you who you are except for what Christ did on the cross. There's no failure you've had in the past. There's no shortcoming you've had in the past. There's no sin that you've had in the past that makes you who you are. That stuff is dead. If you were baptized, scriptures say that it's dead in the waters. And now your life is just full of God himself, him having taken up residence in you. I love it. It took me years, maybe 15 years to understand. I went to Great Lakes and it took me maybe 15 years to understand what Mr. Bowden was saying. If those who know Brian Bowden might relate, but he's brilliant and he's a man of God. And he would always say in class, his story, your story, his story. And there's other mentors and stuff who would speak the same language saying his story, you know, is your story is history. It's his story. And we were like, what's he talking about? This is what he was saying. Your history, any of your faults, any of your failures, any of your sin, it's covered. It's washed in the blood. Your history is Jesus's history and what he did on the cross. And there's no separation. What Jesus accomplished is what you accomplished. What he has done, it was 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It was the great exchange. Our story is sin, but Jesus' story is righteousness. Jesus took on our story of sin and we take on his righteousness. The world's mentality is, well, you made your bed, you better sleep in it. But the gospel is that we made our beds and Jesus slept in it. And then he made his bed of righteousness and we sleep in that. So we walk in righteousness because we have Jesus in us and he is the righteous one. Okay, so that is all for a purpose. That truth is all for a purpose and it's fruitfulness and it's reproduction. It's God producing himself in us so that we might produce God out into the world. So we have the fruit of the Spirit. The story goes on. After Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes, and now the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in the Christian. And this is happening all over the world, that Christians are becoming more and more like a tree that's bearing apples, more and more apples, and more and more apples. But actually, the apples are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. So we start, what's happening? What's happening is the Holy Spirit is producing God in us. And we're growing up and maturing. Is this making sense? But it goes beyond the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and a lot of you are familiar with this, is Jesus at the very end of almost the very end of his ministry. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. We have authorities. Trudeau just got elected again. There's authorities. We have our parents. There's authorities. We have police. But Jesus is over all authority. He's ruler. He's king over heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is a single authority. He's king. And he says to his disciples, his students, his learners, those who would follow him, therefore go and make more disciples of what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Here's God's plan summed up. Step one, create mankind, Adam and Eve, in God's likeness. And then they have a bunch of babies and fill the earth. That was step one. Step two is a new mankind, Christ in you, in Christ's image, in God's image. And then they go and they fill the earth. And instead of making babies, now they go and make disciples. That's God's plan summed up. Step one, Adam and Eve, populate the earth. Step two, start the church, a bunch of disciples, make disciples of the earth. That's God's heart, is to fill the earth with more and more of him. Because he's so glorious and he's so worth it. We need a lot less of a lot of things in our world. And we need a lot more of God in our world. And then over to the scripture that was read is John 15, 4-8. And this is like, if you would desire to memorize scripture, to just get it in you, the first half of John 15, I'd strongly recommend. So he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So what's he saying? Don't bother bearing fruit, being fruitful and reproducing in the world unless you're in me, remaining in me, dwelling in me, abiding in me, with me. I am the vine, he says, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how do we glorify God? We bear much fruit. What brings God glory? When there's tons of fruitfulness and reproducing happening across the earth. And what is it to show ourselves that we're true disciples? It's to bear fruit. And what's interesting is if you read on in John 15, I don't know if you have this question, but I did for years. Is bearing fruit just like the fruit of the Spirit, or is it like making disciples too? I don't know if you guys have that question, but I had that question. And then you read on in John 15 and verse 20 says, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours as well. So Jesus is saying in the first half of John 15, bear fruit. And in the second half of John 15, go tell a message. Go tell a message. And you'll probably be persecuted. But if they obey my teaching, they'll obey yours. Go tell a message. So we looked at Matthew 28, we looked at John 15, you put these two things together and the whole overview of the Bible and God's heart for fruitfulness, and here's what you get. Your primary purpose, if you're a Christian, is to be a student of Jesus and to be under his authority. It's to bear much fruit, making disciples and glorifying God on earth. Your primary purpose is to be a student of Jesus under his authority, to make disciples and to glorify God on earth. God reproduced in us will lead to God being reproduced in other people. I saw it on my drive up north. Mature trees, they drop seeds, don't they? And then all of a sudden up comes this new batch of forest, more and more trees. So for the end of this sermon, I could preach a lot more. I love to preach, but something that I've realized as I've gone around preaching, talked to churches in my time in Youth for Christ is there's a real heart within the church within a lot of Christians, they desire to evangelize, they desire to witness and to tell people about Jesus and to share their faith. They just don't know how. Some Christians, there's four questions. We don't know why. We don't know who to talk to. We don't know what to say. And we don't know when to do it. And one of the trainings that E3 offers is called 411. Those four questions on one sheet of paper, training you in 1 hour. And I only have 20 minutes this morning. So I'd be happy to come back and do the 411 any day of the week for any of you that want to, but we would need an hour. So what I've chosen to do this morning is to take kind of one of the key parts within the 411 and at least give that training for this morning. So that if you desire to share your faith, and I hope that you do, that you'll be a little bit equipped, okay? So this is called the three circles. Raise your hand if you've heard of the three circles before. No, a couple of people out back, yeah. Okay, you're in for a treat. The thing I love about the three circles and generally speaking about sharing the gospel is the reminder that when we share the gospel and just kind of draw it out, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus' work on the cross. Right on, God, praise God. So you're going to pair up with someone and you as a pair will have one sheet of paper and you rip it in half and you'll use one half and your partner will use the other half. This is what I do. And I'm now doing it for a living. When's the last time I did this? Was in Sport Check to get my skates sharpened. And the girl behind the counter, I handed my skates and I said, hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? And she said, well, actually, I'm going on a trip to Ireland. I'm going to live there for a couple of years with my boyfriend. And I was like, cool, I'll be praying for you about that. And then I said, hey, has anybody shared with you the three circles before? And either you carry around a lot of paper and pen, or you can get the three circles as a sticker on your phone. And she said, no one's ever shared the three circles. And I said, you got 2 minutes? And she said, yeah. And so I said, okay. And then I began. And so this is the gospel summed up. And if you practice it, you can do it in 2 to 3 minutes. Ready, set, go. So here's the first circle. And this represents our world, and the squiggly lines represents brokenness. Would you agree with me that our world is pretty broken? Okay, now I've never gotten a no. I've never gotten a no. Every single person, yes, our world is broken. What are some examples that you see of brokenness in our world? Somebody shout anything out. War. I think I heard poverty. Divorce. Okay. War. Poverty, divorce, and we're all subject to this stuff. And actually, the world wasn't made like this. The world was made like this. God made the world, and he made it like this, and the world was perfect. But what happened is we left it. This is us leaving it, and we made it like this. Us leaving that perfect world, that the Bible calls that sin. Sin is basically disobeying God. Or sin is like anything you think, say, or do that goes against what God wants. So here we are in this world. It's a world that's broken and it's a world of sin. And people want to get out of this world. People really want to get out of this. They're just stuck, man. They're stuck in it. And what happens is everybody tries to get out of the world themselves. But it's like an elastic band that snaps you right back in. So people try drugs, they'll try the opposite sex, they'll chase money, but all of these things are like an elastic band that just snaps you right back in. We can't get out ourselves. And God, he has so much love that he didn't want us to be stuck either. He knew we needed his help. So he sent Jesus, who died, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And it's a historical fact. It actually happened in history, this Jesus. And then he went up to heaven after he rose from the grave. And he's at the right hand of God. So for us, the only way for us to get out of our sin and out of the brokenness of the world, here's a praying person, is for us to turn from our sin. And I'm sure you could think of some sin in your own life, some things you've done wrong. For us to trust Jesus and what he did. You know that when he died, he was buried, he actually buried all this stuff with him, all of the darkness. He's full of light. He buried all of the sin. So if we turn from the sin in our life, we trust Jesus and what he did on the cross, and we make him the king of our life, then we'll be completely made new and we'll live in the love of God. And we'll actually get to live in this world, in this place, in God's love and shine light into the darkness and into the brokenness of the world. So that's the three circles. I'm going to give you a chance to do it with your partner, and then I'm going to do it one more time. Don't expect that you're going to be able to do it on the first time, but we learn by doing. So I will give you 4 minutes and give it a go explaining the gospel to your partner in three circles. Decide who's going to go first. And ready, set, go. Okay. Thank you for participating in that exercise with me. I'm just gonna add to, sometimes you might want to add in scripture to it. So Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, then he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So that's what we mean by restored. People do it, everybody does it differently. So the way that I've done it, if there was 10 other trainers here, you would hear 10 different kind of nuances and little differences. But you see the main message, right? God made the world perfect. We sin. The world, you know, this is what made the world the way it is. It's broken and sinful. God sent Jesus. If we turn, trust, make Jesus king, then we'll be made new and can live in the love of God. So can I tell you a story? I got trained on this just over a year ago when I was running Youth for Christ and all the 8 staff. We all got trained by E3. That's how I got to know them. And after we learned it, we practiced it, and then we hit the streets to try it out. And we were all kind of nervous and scared. So my one staff, Evan and I, we pulled up in a parking lot, uptown Waterloo. We got out of the car, and here's this 20-ish-year-old young guy walking towards us. And we're like, this is the first, here we go. This is our first run at it. And I'm like, hey, man, anything we can pray for? And he's like, yeah, my studies. He's a student at Laurier. And I was like, hey, I'll be praying for you. Do you have like 2 minutes for me to share this thing called the three circles with you? And he's like, yeah, sure. And they say students are always looking for an excuse to get out of studying. So they're the best victims. But so I share this with them. And I kid you not, I forgot the last part. You then say to the person at the very end, where would you say you are? Living here or living here? That's the conversation starter. So you fill it all out. And then where would you say you are? Living here, living here. And he goes, I would say that I'm here. And I go, why is that? All my friends, you know, they're bad influences pulling me down. Well, where do you want to be? He goes, yeah, I want to be here. Like, do you want to follow Jesus? You could start that today. And he's like, well, I'm a scientist. And I'm like, hey, there's lots of Christian scientists. And to my surprise, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll follow Jesus. And then we get talking, we prayed together. And he says, you know, my girlfriend's not going to believe this. She's a Bible-believing Christian. She's been trying to get me out to church for a few months, and I've been saying no. He's like, she's going to be interested to hear. So we were texting afterwards, and his girlfriend's like, you know, are you a Bible-believing Christian too? And it was just cool and interesting and surprising. I truly believe that the world is just hungry for hope and for truth and for grace and for God, and the harvest is plentiful. Jesus said, and it's still true to this day, but the workers are few. So you can do this with anybody. You can do it with your neighbor. You can do it with a family member of yours. You just ask them the question, you know, can I share my faith with you? Or has anyone shared the three circles with you? Has anyone shared the three circles with you? Leaves the Christianity out of it. And then halfway through, they're like, wait a minute, this is about Jesus. So that's just one tool. I'm grateful to have come. My time is up. I'm just going to pray for you guys. And I am going to stick around during the potluck lunch and would love to discuss more either about anything I preached or the organization E3 or this tool. Lord, thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we were lost, that even while we were enemies, that you loved us, God. Thank you for this mystery revealed of Christ in us. Thank you, God, that you want to seek and find us and that you would actually fill us with yourself, that you want us to be so close that heaven, that there'd be no distance between heaven and our hearts. God, I pray that you would revive us again, that you would give us a clear sightedness of the gospel and revelation of who we are in you and an eagerness to go and share. I pray for each individual here that as they think of maybe just one unbeliever person that doesn't know you in their lives, that they would be given opportunity, that you by your hand would give them opportunity to share and that they would have opportunity to speak the gospel to them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.